our great God. We come before you this morning, grateful that victory is ours. We know how the story ends. We know that we win. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Lord, we don't know how long the road is between here and there. This morning, would you help us keep our eyes focused on you and on the things that you would have us focus on? Thank you for this community of brothers and sisters, this family that you have brought together. In all our imperfections and all our flaws and all our weaknesses, Lord, thank you for the blessing of community that we don't have to walk this road alone. So, Lord, this morning, would we be encouraged in our connection to one another? We are truly blessed. May we have our eyes opened to that blessing yet again. In Jesus' name, amen. How are we all doing this morning? Good, good. How many of you have this game right around this time of year? By the way, welcome to fall. We're officially there. My favorite time of year. Anybody else share with me? All right. Our fall crazies. All right. How many of you play this game in your house where you see how long you can go before you turn on the heat? Yeah. My wife and I, we are in a unique situation this year where we are actually going through a home remodel. We're working on our kitchen and bathroom. Do one or the other, not both. That's what I officially learned. Because when you are down a kitchen and a bathroom, life is really, really interesting. But my wife last night, she was in the living room. She's not in the room, so I can tell you this story. She had her blanket on her and her hoodie up and everything, just snuggling. I'm like, honey, we eventually really have to get the heat on. But she caught me. I walked into the kitchen, and I'm just standing there with my eyes closed. She's like, what are you doing? I'm envisioning. By nature, I like to have my house relatively in order. And right now, everything that was in the kitchen and the bathroom is now in the living room and dining room. And the kitchen is the dining room, and the dining room is the kitchen, and that's also the living room. And we only have one bathroom, and everything is crowded. And so I actually had to stand in the kitchen that is no longer a kitchen. It's just a shell of a room with a refrigerator in it. And I had to envision, okay, the stove is here. Dishwasher here. Countertop over here. Cup there. And I had to envision in my head. And it reminded me of something. Because if I don't do that, I'm going to panic. I would not buy my house if I walked into it right now. I wouldn't want it. But because of where it's going, that vision, what is to come, of what it could be, and Lord willing, one day will be, if I don't mess up too much with the help of, I'm not going to mention his name, but y'all know him, I'd be in deep trouble. Well, same thing goes with church. This family that we sang about, that victory that we're looking forward to, not just the church as a whole, but Grace Baptist, Grace Church as a whole. And every year we go for this little test, this vision exam. How many of you do that every year? You get your contacts or your glasses changed and they say, nope, prescription ran out on that one, you need a refill. That's what's going on in the next coming weeks. If you have never been here before to Grace, or if you've been here only a few months, this is the perfect time. If you're listening in on the radio and you want to know what we are about, this is it. Over the next 5 weeks, we are going to look at our vision statement, our mission statement, our vision as a church of what God has made us to be. We're going to go through a Grace vision exam. Now, if you could cover your left eye and read that chart up on the screen for me. Just kidding. Some of you actually did it. Thank you. But we're looking at why God brought us here together. And it is encapsulated in a brief statement. So if you are an active member here at Grace, I'm going to ask you to read this next screen aloud with me, okay? It is our vision statement. It should be familiar, something that you have heard time and again, but we're going to read it out loud as a declaration of who we are and why God has brought us together, okay? Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Now, you notice there are some words there that are colored, and it's not just because I wanted to be cutesy. Each color has a purpose. Each word is significant, and there is going to be a message behind each one of those that we are going to dig into what this is all about. And that very first phrase that shows up is Grace Baptist Church. This is not a declaration for all churches, though I would recommend that all churches have this as part of what they are, but this is specifically to us, this community right here that God has brought together. And we are a community of believers who have come together, who have connected with each other. That phrase is all about connection. So we're going to take the next few weeks to clarify, what does Grace Baptist Church look like? What does it look like? And connection is a key part of this. By the way, we could say Grace Baptist exists to glorify God. Period. End of statement. That is what the church is here for. But we believe God has a very specific way for us to do that here. Okay. For those of you not watching, apparently there's a good breeze up here. I'll try to keep it down. But that wouldn't give us a clear vision of what we are here for. It wouldn't give us a clear perspective of what specifically this looks like. So we have to elaborate. We have to clarify that vision. Today we're looking at that community of Grace Baptist Church. It's the foundation of connection. This is the symbol we use to describe connection. There's a presupposition behind this idea. Everyone belongs here. Everyone. The doors are open for all. Because here's the key presupposition as well. All people are either potentially or presently one of God's people. Everyone is either presently or potentially. Now, to clarify, I'm not saying everybody's saved. But I'm saying everybody could be. So we better treat them that way. Because sometimes we can just say, you don't belong here because you are, insert whatever sort of problem or sin. Listen, Jesus paid a price so exorbitant, there is nothing we could say that we should be picky or choosy about who should come to him. He paid the entry fee. Everybody is either presently or potentially one of God's people. And we use this color, this image, the reconnecting over and over again. We are constantly trying to connect with each other, and we're using the color orange because it's associated with fire and flame and the heat that it produces, the warmth that it produces. In order for fire to exist, you have to have fuel, oxygen, and flame. You have all that, it's going to go. It takes an interaction of elements. In order for you to have orange, you have to have red and yellow interacting together. So for us to have regular connection, it takes a lot of interaction. In order for us to connect the way God designed us to connect, to have that family connection, it requires regular interaction amongst the members. Recent reports suggest that 36% of all Americans, including 61% of young adults and 51% of mothers with young children, feel serious loneliness. Serious loneliness. Not surprisingly, loneliness has been on the rise over the past couple years. Wonder why? We've been in isolation. Loneliness is hazardous for your health, too. Heard one statistic that loneliness, like that, extreme loneliness, is as seriously degrading to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And yet we think we don't need it, this connection. It's like God knows how he made us. It's like God knows who we are and what needs we have, that he brought together a community. That's why connection is foundational to what we do here at Grace. If you put our vision statement, I like pictures, okay? You can give me a list of words all you want. I'm probably not going to remember it, but you give me a picture, this will speak 1,000 words. Worship and connection are the two foundational principles underneath everything that we do here at Grace. We'll talk about worship next week because that is the extreme foundation. But this week we're going with what is on the surface, what most people are aware of as a church connection. Everything else builds on those two. And it's great to talk about connection and relationship building, but in order for us to do that, first we need to talk about one really big question. Why? We need to ask, why is this part of our vision here? Why did God make this part of his church? Why did he choose not just an individual relationship with him? Why did he call us this thing we know as church life, a church family? Why do we connect? Why is it important? At the very beginning of human history, God says this, "It is not good that man should be alone." Let me put this in context. God had made light and dark, and it was good. He had made earth and water, and it was good. He made trees and sky, and it was good. He had made animals and birds and fish and all sorts of things to fill the earth, and it was good. He had made man, and it was good. He made man alone, and it was not good. See, man was over only alone with God ever once, and God said that's not good. We were not designed for life in isolation. We were designed for a life of deep, intimate connection to each other. Why? We are making self a community. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet we think we are fine in isolation. We think we are fine on our own. None of us is fine on our own. That's not what God called us to. He gave us each other as a gift. He sought man alone and said, I need to make someone to be a match for him. Gave Eve to Adam as a gift. And not only does he say that that's good, he says it's very good. When we connect, it's very good. God sees that we were not made. He knows we were not made to be alone. Now, we don't connect here at Grace just because of proximity. This is not the nearest church to some of you, right? You drive past some other churches to come here. And it's not because we just share the same interests or we're all in the same chapter. Broad spectrum of the community here at Grace. In Tyrone and the surrounding community, we really are. And praise God for that, but that's not why we come together. And we don't come together just because we always agree with each other and like each other. That's not true either. Everybody always like everybody else in their family? I'm glad you can be honest. Now, don't you both be looking at each other in the same row. I said no. Same is true here. We gather together because we know we belong together. We know we belong together. We connect because the people who belong to God belong together. You want the big idea this week? That's it. The people who belong to God belong together. Ecclesiastes puts it this way. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. This verse tips us off to one of the major reasons that we connect. One of the big why behind it all. Because we improve each other. We improve each other. Whether that's in our desire for becoming more like Christ, being the person God designed us to be, fighting a specific sin, whatever it is, we improve each other. It says that he lifts his fellow up. We connect with each other in such a way that we carry one another's weights. See, here's a hard truth. Whether you like to admit it or not, we are all stumbling. We all need someone to give us a little encouragement, a little boost. We all need someone to give us a little nudge to get us on the right track. So when we come together, whether that be in church or sitting over a cup of coffee together, we can ask ourselves, how can I lift this person up? What do they need that I can give them? Could you express appreciation for them? Share with them a fond memory? offer to help them out with some big issue on their plate. God has given you things that somebody else needs, just like he has given somebody else something that you need to build those connections naturally. But this goes more than just a, hey, what's in it for me and you? This connection goes to the very root of our identity. Romans chapter 12, 4 through 5 says it this way. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We belong to each other, and we belong with each other. Your body is not just one big lump. It is a whole bunch of intricate parts woven together to form an organism that is living, breathing, moving, and interdependent on each other. Why do we connect? Because we belong together. We truly do. We are all different, yet we have been all brought together and are being fitted together uniquely to be Grace Baptist Church. Throughout the New Testament, we are told several things. We are told to speak to one another, to teach one another, to encourage one another, to support one another, to confront one another, to cherish one another, to serve one another, and above all, to love one another. Explain something to me. How is it possible to do all those one another when we're not with one another? That's the solution I came up with, too. We can't. It's impossible. Can't do all the one another's of Scripture without being with one another. It takes connection and community. These all take frequent, intentional, and relational time together. So we connect because the people of God, the people who belong to God, belong together. Don't get me wrong. There are legitimate reasons for separating, by the way, from other believers when it comes to even worship service or social circles. But as a whole, we are told to eagerly preserve the unity that has been entrusted to us by the Holy Spirit. We are to eagerly preserve that unity. So make no mistake, if we are not eagerly preserving the unity in our church community, it will by nature drift to isolation. Last weekend, I was not here. Thank you, Rob, for preaching. My bride and I were at a marriage conference, Weekend to Remember. Anybody been to one of those in the room? Oh, I highly recommend it if you haven't, as a married couple. It was excellent time for my bride and I to work on our marriage. And just like a marriage, if you're not taking that time to invest in one another intentionally, what's naturally going to happen to the relationship? Career steps in. Children, other schedules, social activities, and all of a sudden you realize that you are sharing a house with a stranger. But if you're intentionally taking time for that relationship, fighting against the isolation that is natural, you'll find that that bond is strengthened. Same thing happens with a church, by the way. If we are investing our time and our effort in that community, the isolation we will find does not happen as quickly, if at all. We are called to fight against an enemy who is more than eager to destroy our unity by any means necessary. See, it's what defines us that unites us. It's what defines us that unites us. Sin separates us. Just the nature of the world separates us, but our mutual relationship with God unites us. The church as a whole is designed to be a community of God worshipers, that Jesus followers connect with others who are headed in the same direction, with the same goals and objectives in mind, and facing the same threats. And we come together and we build one another up and support each other. Once we've seen the depth of our spiritual connections, all other relationships will seem superficial because we belong together. So how deep does our relationship go? If that belonging together goes to the fact that we are part of one body, how deep does that connection go? John 1 says this, "He came to his own," that's Jesus, "and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." All believers have the same Father. We are part of the family of God that we just sang about this morning. So when we get together, every Sunday is a family reunion. Every Sunday. Maybe we should have a potluck to go along with it. I mean, we do have Baptist in our name. Just like we need our family, we need each other. We truly do. We connect because we are family. We improve each other. We belong together because we're family. This is where the supernatural nature of church life comes into play. See, many of the relationships formed in church would happen without church, if we're honest. Let me explain. We share an affinity or an interest that brings us together with a group. So we develop a Christian workout group or a Christian bowling group or a Christian chess club or a Christian knitting club or a Christian book club. And that would be a natural relationship. You like chess, I like chess. Let's get together and play. You like bowling, I like bowling. You like knitting, I like knitting. You like cooking, I like cooking. And we would form those relationships. But we slap Christian on the front of it. Now all of a sudden, oh, that's what it's all about? Not quite. Because imagine this. Imagine with me again, as Rob said, we don't vote either side. We don't propose. What's the word I'm looking for? Endorse. Thank you. Either side. But imagine this with me. You have a liberal, Democrat, libertarian, Republican. Prada wearing and only ever drinks Evian. NASCAR watching and swills Schlitz beer. I don't care. And you got two of them together. You put them in the room, there's going to be an explosion, right? Not necessarily. Because when they are united in Christ, there is something inseparable in that relationship that draws us together in astonishing love and unity. Unity that is so unexpected, so unnatural, so supernatural that Ephesians 3:10 says that even the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms sit up and take notice. You want to know something that makes the demons, the devil, and angels sit up and go, wow? When brothers dwell together in unity. When we connect with people that we have no other affinity with. That you might have no connection, they might have no natural connection, but the person of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are willing to lay down our lives for each other. That's the connection, because we are family. God's plans are amazing, aren't they? Now, I know not all families are perfect. Maybe some of you have had a bad experience with your family. Tension, betrayal, struggles that I can't even mention behind this pulpit. But that's not necessarily how it has to be in the family of God. In God's family, there is love, there is connection, acceptance, and belonging. Not that we don't disagree with each other, and not that there isn't some sibling strife, but that we are committed to each other because of who we are and whose we are. And we know that connecting like this glorifies Him. People who belong to God belong together. That's why. Now we got to ask the question, how? I'm going to keep preaching with a yellow jacket. Keeps flying around me. Lots of distractions today. My ADD is kicking all over the place. This is the why, but that leads us to another big question, doesn't it? The question is probably going through your mind, because it's going through mine, is how? How can we do this? It starts when we recognize that God has called us to connect to one another in a loving, serving, and encouraging, helping community, a family. That we belong together. But Jesus pointed to this. He said in John 13, 34 through 35, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The defining feature, the key descriptor for anybody who is part of the family of God, summed up in one word. loving. Loving one another. I can't imagine any of us love somebody because they are exactly like us. But because of those unique differences that we realize are valuable, we love one another. See, what defines us unites us, especially our relationship to Jesus. The people who belong to God belong together. This is what Jesus is saying in this verse. This is how people will know that you belong to me. You love each other. If it's the relationship to Jesus that defines you, love ought to be the descriptor behind it all, the how. You cannot love others, by the way, when you are not with others. You cannot love people from a distance. It requires rubbing elbows with them. Love is the closest form of connection. It is what identifies the true followers of Jesus. Love like this in a community doesn't happen on accident, and it does not happen overnight. Love is nurtured over many experiences together. It happens in community, and it takes time together. So here's the thing. Some of you are convinced, I love Jesus, that's all I need. Jesus makes it pretty clear. You can't love him without loving others. Period. Not my words, his. You cannot love others without connecting with them. And this is not just a superficial, hey, how you doing? How'd your week go? How's your mom? Nice to see you. Bye. Connection. No, this is deep, intimate, messy connection. So I want you to ask yourself some questions over the next week. In fact, right now, I want you to look around the room and ask yourself this one question. Who can I connect with? Go ahead. Stop looking at me. Look around the room. You see an unfamiliar face? There's your answer. Who can I connect with that I don't normally connect with? So people in this side of the room, this is the only side of the room that you're ever with, look over there. And people on this side of the room, and this is the only other side of the room that you're ever with, look here. And you guys, look wherever. Who can you connect with that you normally don't? How can I go out of my comfort zone to make that connection? Who can I invite out to dinner after the service today? Restaurants are still open. That still keep, it's fine. When can I jump into a life group? There's another question you can ask yourself. We have a men's life group starting up January 5th. The ladies' life group is starting up already. We have our young couple small group already starting up every other Saturday. If you want to be a part of that, contact me. Rob's small group starts every Tuesday. In fact, we have other small groups started yet that would be willing to start if people would be a part. You can join the choir. You can come to Sunday school classes. There are all sorts of ways that we can connect here. So many ways. Ask yourself that question. But it starts with you taking that first step out of that comfort zone. Naturally, I am an introvert. I recharge by being alone. But I'll tell you what. I have never had moments of growth as significant, of being close to God as significant as when I've been around other people. Guaranteed. How can I spend more time with someone in my church community? How can we connect? That's part of being loving. But that's not the only how of how we're going to do this. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us this. That there may be no division in the body. Remember, we're eagerly preserving the unity. So that there may be no division in the body, Paul says here, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. When one of us hurts, all of us hurts with him. When one of us rejoices, we all shout with her. When one of us is pinched, we all say, ouch. When another part of Christ's body is suffering, all the other parts reflexively respond to either alleviate the pain or compensate for the loss. Your right hand doesn't say, not my problem, when your leg is limp, does it? No, it takes up a cane. It says, there's something I can do to support this. Or it moves a wheelchair. So, loving shows up by helping. We connect by helping one another. Remember what I said earlier, God has given you some things that somebody else needs. What defines us unites us, even if it's a need. We mutually need Jesus. Amen? We also mutually need several other things. Apparently, we need each other. We need community. We need social interaction. The people who belong to God belong together. And when we see another member of God's family in need, it becomes second nature to us to give. When we're truly loving, it's going to come as a second nature to want to help. Because when we care about God, we are going to care about the people He cares about. And I don't know about you, but He thinks I'm to die for. And if God is willing to die for that person, what should we be holding back for each other? So ask yourself these questions. Whenever you're interacting with somebody this week, what need are they experiencing that I can help alleviate? Maybe they're sick and could use a meal or two. Maybe they've just lost a parent and could use another set of hands in sorting through the estate. Maybe they've never been taught how to budget and could use somebody who's really good with figures, helping them sort through all that. Think about this. What needs are you experiencing that you could, are they experiencing that you could help alleviate? But this goes beyond just the physical. Colossians 3:16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." It talks about spiritual need. You know why we sing together? Not because we're particularly gifted, though many of you are, but because we need to hear those words from each other. We need to remind each other of truth. I'm not the only preacher in the room. Each one of you does it. This connection looks a whole lot like church, like life groups, like Sunday school, and just doing daily life together. Everyone needs everyone. How do we connect? By taking every opportunity to be a person of encouragement, to get together with other Christians and fortify one another, to build each other up. So we do it by loving, we do it by helping, and we do it by encouraging. This helping pours into the spiritual. We need each other for encouragement, to give us strength when ours is failing. I know so many people that are going through hard times. Why didn't God give me strength? He did in His people. Where was God in the middle of my suffering? Where were God's people? Did you connect to them? We are to be encouraging one another. Maybe you know somebody that's going through a hard time. They're struggling with a disease. Their mental state is not what it should be. Spend some time with them. Call them. Take them out to coffee. Just let them know that you care. Encourage them. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let it keep you at bay. And don't worry if it's going to be awkward. It will, but you know what? By the end of it, it will not be. It will enrich your relationship like nothing else. A friend in need is a friend indeed, right? There's a reason that's an old cliche. We really need to hear what James tells us in this. Don't let pride get in the way. And this is going to get a little uncomfortable for us, some of us. James 5 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to the pastor." Oh, sorry, I misread that. To the elder. Nope. To the spiritually mature and well-qualified. Nope. Somebody help me out. Confess your sins to whom? One another. And pray for one another. Look, if we're going to be doing the first part, we have to be doing the second part of this. Praying for one another that you may be healed. That's what we're praying. Encouragement comes from us saying, look, there is healing to be had in this. People coming to say, look, I've got this problem. Men in our group, guarantee you, we need to address this problem. I can't keep my eyes where they belong. And we can encourage one another. Pluck them out. No, don't do that. But we can encourage one another and say, look, this is a battle I'm going to win by the grace of God through His strength alone. We need to be honest with each other, confessing that, because we need each other's help. We need each other for encouragement, for the sake of accountability, helping us fend off this attack of the devil, of our own flesh, of the world around us, of sin in general, that are greater than we could withstand alone. Look, Satan's been around for at least 6,000 years. That means he has 5,960 some odd years of experience on me. I need somebody that has a whole lot more wisdom than me to help that fight. Pretty sure most of us do. So let's band together. So when you're encountering people, you're connecting this week, that person that you saw across the room and you locked eyes and you thought, oh no. That person, when you're connecting this week, ask yourself this question. What promise do they need to be reminded of? How can we call each other to take the next step that God has for us? We need to be reminded of those promises because God says, I will bring to completion that good work that I began in you. I'm not done with you yet. You're still breathing. There's still hope. You need to be reminded of the promises that he's working all things together for good, even that thing that you just can't let go from your past. People need those encouragements. And how can you call each other to take that next step? Hey, man, I see you fighting this fight. That's great. Just don't miss this one, too. And here's, you're doing great. You've got a lot of success here. You've got victory. But there's another this battle that you might be missing. And I know that's really hard to hear because you just want to celebrate this thing. Celebrate it. That's encouraging. But when somebody else calls us to take that next step in another area, tell you what, that is a huge encouragement because I might be blind to it. And that person cares enough about me, cares enough about my walk with God that they're willing to step into the awkward in the relationship and point it out. Finally, the how results in truth-telling. If we are truly loving, if we are truly helping, and we are truly encouraging, it's going to take some truth-telling. That confession is part of it, but it is all honesty because what defines us unites us, including our struggle against sin. We are not sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace. We are saints. We are no longer identified by sin, and we need to be told that. That we do not walk in sin anymore. That God sees us as perfect, as righteous. I'm preaching something that we're going to go through next year, the book of Ephesians. But the people who belong to God belong together. And if we are not honest about our struggle against sin, we will never experience community the way God has it in mind for us. If anybody should be able to help us with our sins and struggle against it, it should be the community of God. The family that he's brought us to, people of Christ who are going through the same struggles and who have had victories in those battlefields. That's why Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. This is not just about sin, but it's not less than sin. It goes beyond sin because we are called to so much more than stop sinning, stop sinning, stop sinning. That is not the call. The call for the Christian is to glorify God in every aspect of life. We need each other to carry the weight of what God has called us to. We are co-workers in the field of this world, working to spread the glory of God. That is hard and difficult work. The word for glory is literally kavod. In Hebrew, that means weightiness. God is infinite in his glory. Thus, the weight of it is infinite. No one of us can bear it alone. We carry it together. We're going to get spiritually sweaty together. We step up when we see someone struggling. We speak out when we see someone in need. And we join in when we see a need that no one else can fill. That's what God has called us to. That takes a great deal of truth-telling, being honest with each other. So finally, let's ask, how can I speak the truth in the most loving way possible? Remember what I said a few weeks ago. If you speak truth, but you can't speak it in love, don't speak it yet. Give it time. Speak truth in love. They cannot be separated. Who can I be honest with about my struggles? Some of you are here right now and you think that you're defeated. You think that the enemy has won over you because you've been going in solo to a battlefield. Time to join ranks with someone else. Time to lock arm in arm with somebody who is walking in the same path as you, seeking the same righteousness and goodness that you are. And then some of you need to ask yourselves this question: who needs to hear about my struggles and victories so that they can be encouraged that they're not alone? One of the biggest lies of the enemy that he will ever tell any Christian and that we believe and it will immediately defeat us is, you are alone. You're the only one who fences. Before the failure, he goes, oh, everybody's doing it. Not a problem, because everybody's going around doing this. It's a part of everyone's life. And then as soon as you do it, he crushes you. You are alone. You're the only one who does this. You're the only one who can understand. You're the only one who knows the route that could ever discover the route out. Nobody else is going to help you. Nobody else is going to care about you. Let me tell you, that lie is straight from the pit of hell. And friends, we need each other. Many of you have great wisdom because you have been helped through difficult situations. You have overcome certain struggles that in this room is struggling with. I want you to pray when we close. I want you to know who in this room, God, who needs to hear what you've brought me through? Who needs to hear through, Lord? Point me to their direction. There are people in this room that we can share with today. Before we do that, I want to bring it all together. Connection. We are not connecting because we have a mutual interest. That's okay to have that. Those are good and fine. But if it is not centered around Christ, it's not the connection that we see in Scripture. He is what binds us together. The people who belong to God belong to Him because we belong to Christ. And the people who belong to Christ belong together. So we're going to close with a hymn, "Bind Us Together," with cords that cannot be broken. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has been and will be what binds us together. So in our mutual connection to Christ, may we seek unity with each other. He said of us what Paul says of the church in Colossae. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel." Let's pray. God, I pray that today we would forge relationships that will last a lifetime, that we will make connections that you will use to grow us, to change us, to help us see how we fit in this body, this family that you have brought together. God, we cannot fight this fight alone. May we eagerly preserve the unity entrusted by the Spirit, but Spirit, would you unite us? Would you give us a heart that is eager to connect to others? Lord, give us the courage and the faith to step forward and unite, to be connected, to be vulnerable with each other, to help, and to use those blessings that you have given to us to bless others. I pray this all in your Son's name, for your glory. Amen.